All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Fitness is a Habit, brought to you by Fitness is a Habit, that is, in collaboration with, of course, your guy DJ OG1. And the topic we're going to be talking about today is Black men and health, and have very special guests here today, distinguished guests. I have Asa Pritchard, who represents P-Town Media, as well as P-Town, a.k.a. the mayor, a.k.a. Seasoning, in charge of Next Level ENT, as well as community activist, and the man I say is responsible for saving my life. We have Dr. Mark Whiteford in the building, and of course, holding down the controls today is my man DJ Cliff. You can check him out with Cliff Notes on the regular. But today we're going to get into a very serious topic. To me, it's something that I've been anticipating for a while, and we're just really kind of having an informal discussion, but a very serious topic about Black men and health. And just to give you guys that may not know me, David Jackson, a.k.a. DJ OG1, a little bit about my story. In September of 2016, I was diagnosed with stage 3 rectal cancer. And at the time when I went in, I just went in for a regular routine checkup. My doctor said, hey, you're at the age where you need to get checked and get tested. And I was like, okay, doc, I'm going in. Wasn't feeling it sick or anything that I was aware of. And went and got a colonoscopy. And when the results came back, they said, Mr. Jackson, you have stage 3 rectal cancer. And at the moment, I was just kind of numb because I didn't know how to respond to it. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. And I was really confused because I thought when you hear the word cancer, you think, okay, you're supposed to be sick. You're supposed to be feeling, you know, ill. And I didn't feel any of those things. I'm running a business. You know, about to go on a European tour as a DJ, and life just changed at that point. So fast forward, had my surgery. I'm cancer free today. But one of the things that over the last couple of years came very apparent to me is that as a Black man, the conversation about health wasn't a normal part of my cultural norm. So I was like, I felt that was a problem. You know, when, you know, usually us guys get together, we talk about everything from women to what's the latest cuts out there. And for Mark Whiteford that might not know what cuts are, is that's the latest, hottest music that's out. And we talk about a lot of other things, you know, just life in general. But we don't really talk about each other's health usually until something tragic happens. And so I just wanted, the whole purpose of this podcast really is to start the conversation. And so, again, I brought some friends in to really talk about this issue. And I just want to start specifically with Dr. Whiteford about particularly why, in your opinion, you may not see people of color, men particularly, kind of initiate getting tested.
Yeah, and that part of that, I'll answer my version of it, but of course I want to hear from you, those who can't see me. I am not a man of color, but I grew up in Baltimore and spent years in Philly. I'm used to being outnumbered.
Okay.
And I'm glad to be here with you guys. Where you guys are outnumbered, I guess. but you know that what you're saying is one of the many common misunderstandings about colorectal cancer in particular is that it's known as sort of a silent cancer. Mm. It these, and so you think, well, I'm not sick. I'm not having any symptoms. I'm not, you know, my poop's no different. And I mean, did he just say poop? Did he really just say poop? I mean, you know, and it's hard to, you know, in our society, nobody wants to talk about that. But I don't know why people, everyone has their own reason why they don't talk about it. But in particular, the African American community needs to be aware that, unfortunately, you know, many years ago, where a majority of all other populations had their colonoscopy recommended at age 50, and the African Americans at 45, because you're 20% more likely to get colorectal cancer than all the other ethnicities.
Wow.
And not only that, when you get it, it's more advanced. Mm. It's more advanced. It's not, so cancers are stage 1 to 4. 4 is the worst. That's metastatic. 1's the best. It's most, and 1, 2, and 3 are highly curable. 4, not so much.
Right.
So not only are you more likely to get a cancer at a younger age, but it ends up being more more advanced, probably because we're too young to get it, or, you know, I'm not old enough to get something like a cancer. So
right.
So it's just not on our minds. Like you said, we're talking about other things and talking about the cuts and yes, I did know what you're talking about. Okay. even though we're in a spectacular place to take care of us here, but if I needed to get a haircut, probably somewhere nearby here. But no. So what do y'all think? Why do you think other you know, do white guys hang out and talk about poop? No, they don't. Believe it or not. But what do you guys think?
But I will always think, and maybe it might be again different. I just have never been around black men where if part of my conversation is saying, hey, Sam, you know, how's your health doing?
Yeah.
Just that, you know, usually it's just how you doing. But it usually, again, is not necessarily attached to or associated with health. It's usually like, are you good? Like, is the family good? You know, or, you know, is work good? You know, or are you happy type thing? Kind of the unspoken things, but never specifically health. And to be honest with you, prior to my situation, I didn't even know what a colonoscopy was.
Sure.
Like, I didn't even know what that is. And then when I found out, like, you got to get
your eyes tested.
Somebody's going to go stick something in your butt.
You're going to do what with that?
Right. So there was that whole, you know, part of it was like, wait a minute, like, you're going to do what with what? And I think if it wasn't for the fact that I had my doctor, my primary doctor, for 20 years, so I trusted him. But if it wasn't a situation like that where I had a doctor that I was regularly seeing and I trusted him, I don't know if I would have did it unless I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
So I want to get, you know, Asa and Sam in on the discussion about that.
For me, I think it's we have a phobia of going to the doctor. A lot of times, when we've seen people go to the doctor, especially black men, they come back with a bad report. I've had a few friends go to the doctor and never come back out of the doctor. So I think that it's a fear that if I can deal with it, it must not be that bad. And if I do have something, they're gonna tell me something that I don't wanna hear. And so I think that's really been a big thing for it. I know with me personally, I go to the doctor because I've also always had a good job, so I've had insurance. And I think that a lot of times people don't have insurance, they don't have the proximity to get the proper health care. And so I think all that goes hand in hand for me, especially. I was going to the doctor, and so just a quick little thing. I was going to the doctor. I go to the doctor every 6 months. And I was just getting to a place to where I was getting bigger, and so my doctor was like, hey, you know, with your size and your age, I think we should test for do this diabetes test. So I'm like, cool. You know, I'll every test I've ever got came back. I'm cool. And so it came back that I had diabetes too. But at that point, I didn't feel no different. It wasn't nothing that would have led me to know that. And so, with that being said, if I didn't have, like you said, a primary care doctor that I go see all the time anyway, that if something's going on, I always tap in with my primary care doctor.
Right.
I would have just been living and going about things like everything was regular. And then, you know, 3 years from now, fall into a diabetic coma or something, and then they find and they don't know, never knew what was wrong. And I think not having proper health care, not having a great relationship with the hospital. I think that we look at the hospital the same way we look at a lot of different agencies in America, that we don't get, you know, the same service in these places. And so I think that puts a lot of phobias and fears for Black men, for me personally.
You bet. I agree. I would say, you know, fear. They say ignorance of the law is no excuse. And, you know, a lot of times what we don't know, we tend to run from, and we feel like it won't affect us because we don't know about certain things. But the things that we don't know actually come to haunt us in the long run in our adult age. And it comes back to find out that your sugars were high, your blood pressure was high. Certain things that we could have prevented in our youth age, we could have done better. So my grandfather, he died from colon cancer. So these are some of the things that I've learned throughout the years myself, and having sarcoidosis myself, I've had to learn how to educate myself on what I have, educate myself on my diet, on what I'm eating, how to, you know, curve myself from different symptoms that I may deal with. But what I notice is just a lot of fear. You know, a lot of people are scared of the word cancer, scared of certain scenarios. So they choose not to read up on it, choose not to do certain things, thinking that if I just drink a little bit of water and do a little bit of exercising, I'll be fine. But going to the doctor is definitely most important. Getting checkups, like Sam said, sometimes you could have certain things and not know it. And then one day you'll just feel the symptoms of the whiplash of the scenario and then have to deal with the symptoms situation then. And sometimes it's too late, like the doctor said, it's stage four. So what I've noticed in the community is just fear. A lot of people don't want to read. And then sometimes the health is not always pushed in our community. A lot of carbohydrates in our community. Maybe it's not so in Portland, but in other places, they don't have farmers markets in the local, in the hood, in the ghettos. So their nutritional calendar is all jacked up. So they don't really push health that much anyway, because when you get home, you're still kind of damaging yourself anyway behind the food you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are just some of the things that I see. But I feel like now when you see people who are dealing with health issues, people love them and they care about them. Those sometimes are the spark for other people to look at their own health issues. And sometimes that is the motivational start for them to get some cures and remedies.
Yeah. And again, you're listening to Fitness is a Habit podcast, and we're talking about Black men and health. I'm DJ OG1, and again, my guests, Asa Pritchards, Samuel Thompson, and Dr. Mark Whiteford. So Doc, I'm thinking, particularly in your field of specialty, what do you think are some of the primary causes of colon cancer specifically?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. The simple answer is we don't know. One of the misconceptions out there is that it's got to be in my family or I'll never get it. Mm. Everyone thinks, oh yeah, you know, if no one in my family's ever had it, I'm not going to get it. Well, about 15% of colon cancer runs in families, and 85% is you're the only one in your family who's going to get it. So
wow.
So again, we all think that that's the case, and it's not. So it hits people in, we're unfortunately seeing a change, probably, like Asa mentioned, the foods we're eating. We don't know, but it's a real scare right now, because now they've dropped the screening age for colonoscopy down to 45 for everybody, because there's a rash of new young people getting colorectal cancer and we don't understand it. So what did we do 20 years ago? That it takes 20 years for these things to go from, like, well, 10 years to go from normal to abnormal, or normal to cancer. I mean, it's a long time. These are slow. You can get, you know, you can go pick those weeds early, get a colonoscopy, take these, the, take out the growths before they turn into cancer. So the simple things, we do believe a low fat, high fiber diet. So avoid the red meats. you know, chicken and fish are much better. Maybe, and just eat some vegetarian meals. That's good. Fruits and vegetables are great, and lots of water. And then smoking. You don't think about smoking causing thing. You know, there's lung cancer, throat cancer, things like that for smoking. But unfortunately, it's also, you know, it adds to your risk of colon cancer. Exercise, just, you know, it improves your people after colon cancer surgery or treatment. If they stop smoking and exercise regularly, they're going to live longer. I mean, than the people that don't. I mean, it's really these simple things.
It's getting active.
It's, you know, going back to the basics, staying active and things such as that. So it's the base, these basic things you get back to. So, now obviously if your family has it, you got to get screened more often.
Right.
I mean, we've all been, open about why we're here today. Why would I ever go into this specialty? It's because, I'm a colon cancer family and my grandmother, never told anyone. Mm. And, as it turns out, she had been sick for a while and she actually did, you know, she went to the hospital and she never came out. She had exploratory surgery. She had colon cancer spread everywhere and she died 3 weeks later. So unfortunately, if you have symptoms, it's on the little bit later side. But what Sam mentioned is he went and was proactive. He went to his doctor. And the job as the doctor is to find the things before they bother you. Like, it's prevention. Mm. Okay? You don't want to wait until your car is rusted out and your muffler's fallen off and the valves are pinging on you. You know things. You're not going to get a good report from the maintenance shop there. You need to go in and have someone look at it ahead of time,
right?
And try to prevent these things.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And one thing that Sam brought up that I think is extremely important, because I'd look around the table and I know for us, you know, that tend to have jobs where health insurance is provided. It's very easy for us to kind of get in the routine that, okay, I got to go get checked up. But for those that don't have access to that, it is even more extremely hard to get people to be on the preventative side of getting checked. But what I've learned, because honestly, even when I had a great job, have great job and great insurance, I think culturally still I had some of those phobias. Like, you know, I had all the insurance, but it's like, I don't want to, even when I wasn't feeling anything, it was still a fear of, I don't want to go to the doctor because just in case they tell me something was wrong. And I don't know quite where that came from. Because I don't remember any time in my life where someone said the doctor is bad, but for some reason it just, okay, man, I don't want to be surprised, you know, by anything that I don't. It's the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, for me, I think for me it was, you know, every time somebody was dying, they was dying in the hospital.
Wants to go there.
You know what I'm saying? And so every time you went to the hospital, it wasn't for, you know, especially for, you know, us growing up in the inner city, we were going to the doctor that was either taking out some teeth, giving you a shot, doing something that wasn't cool. And so I don't even want to do that. And then, you know, when the elders in your family were passing and people were passing, it was always in the hospital. So I've always had a thing for hospitals. And so that's why it was a blessing to, like you said, be able to have health insurance, to be able to go to a clinic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To be able to go and have a personal relationship with your primary care doctor. But it's an uncomfortable conversation, and we have a lot of conversations, but that's a conversation that we don't necessarily have as much, because it's tough to reveal, you know, what you perceive as a weakness. So if I'm sick, you know, sick animals get killed. You know, and so we equate being sick or having a sickness with being weak. Mm-hmm. And so I think with that and being able to, again, nothing ever good coming out the hospital. Every time you've been to a hospital, it's been something wrong. Like you said, sometimes people go to the hospital and they don't come back. Being sick, so it's a conversation that hasn't been had, but I think that, you know, we're at a good place right now.
Right.
To where, you know, with what you went through, and what we've been seeing with our peers and people that we're having this conversation now, and understanding that being healthy ain't hard.
Right.
You know,
right.
But just like Asa was speaking to earlier, it ain't no, man, eating healthy is expensive.
Very.
You know, and so eating healthy is expensive, and it ain't no new seasons in where we at. You know, we got to go to Winco and get food from Cash and Carry and all this other stuff.
Right.
You know, and so that's played a big role in it, because what we've grown up that was good to us and what tasted good hasn't been good. Mm-hmm. You know, and so getting away from that, I think that's been the biggest thing for me is right. monitoring what I eat, because everything I like that tastes good ain't good for right. me. And so, yeah, I think
can't go to Popeyes every day.
No, and so you know me, I'm eating two steaks and two baked potatoes yep. and Popeyes every day, and right. I don't cook and right. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yeah. so that over time, again, and I'm just was blessed to be able to have access to medical care, because again, that could have been something that was doing for 5, 6, 7, 8 years from this point. And not go to the doctor at all. And then the first time I go to the doctor, blood pressure through the roof, you had a stroke, you got this, you got that. And that's what happens a lot of times. And so that puts that added fear in Black men into going to the doctor.
I really feel like we also need our advocates too in the community to, you know, to stand up, which is the family members and the friends of those who've actually, you know, been impacted by some of these things. Two good friends who've been impacted by major health situations in my life. Shout out to Rob Ingram. May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And then my brother sitting right here, OG1. I can't tell you how many autism walks to colon cancer events that I've been to with my brother. And it seemed like we were the only people of color at these events. And it was kind of frustrating a little bit, because I know that his family wasn't the only one to suffer from some of these things. My family is not that big, so I don't have a lot of people who've suffered from a lot of different things. But I sympathize with family members and friends who have, so I support. But I just felt like the lack of knowledge for the colon cancer event, not only did I learn so much, I saw so many stories and heard so many stories that was pretty similar to my own. And these people just discovered that they had something. And these people are regular people who live regular lives. So I feel like, you know, the advocacy of what we got going on in our community, it really needs to step up, you know, for the people who experience these things. If, you know, thank you for putting on this podcast, first of all. Thank you for giving us a platform to even talk about these things, you know what I mean? And this is a start, you know, first step for mankind, you know what I mean? Where we can have this conversation, and hopefully it'll trickle down and start more. And more barbershops and more salons. So again, you know, thank you for the Hammer and Nail Salon opening this up, you know, this door for us to have this conversation. But yeah, I feel like we need to be more advocates for our community in these fashions so we can step up and learn more.
Definitely.
I agree. Again, if you're listening in, this is presented by Fitness is a Habit, and we're here in the Hammer and Nail Male Grooming Salon, which is an amazing experience. And it's kind of segue interesting that we talk about hammer and nails, that one of the things that I also realize that is a big issue to dealing with our health. I think this is goes far beyond just Black men. I think just people in general is stress. And you can mask it however you want to mask it, in terms of staying busy, you know, kind of distracting yourself, even in a lot of the great and good things that people are doing. And I only can use myself as an example. I've spent, you know, 30 plus years actively involved in serving the community of Portland. And really passionate about helping people. One of the things that I've had to learn over the last few years, specifically, is that I was doing all of the great work, and I don't regret any time spent serving people in Portland, one thing that became clear that I wasn't serving myself. And I always looked at it as a selfish thing. Like if I take care of myself, that means I'm not taking care of somebody else. And I can't be self. That's selfish. So I will continue to do the work. I will go and serve people. And I've had to learn again, it's a cultural norm. It's a cultural norm that we're not taught to self-care. We're taught to sacrifice and give to others and work hard. But part of that is replenishing ourselves. And I know Hammer and Nails has been a great place for me as a man, being able to come and get service and just kind of my me time. And I can't tell you how much of a relief mentally just having a space where you don't have to think about issues, but you can get cared for, whether it's getting your nails, your feet done, your shave or whatever. And that might seem like basic things, but I think just taking the time to self-care, and that might be done in various ways for different people, whether it's taking time out just to shut things down, shut your phone off, or not feeling like you have to take the burden of the world on. And I know those of us that are in the business of service, I know, you know, Mark can relate to this. I know Sam and Asa, because we're out in the community active, you'll look up and you would have saved the lives of many other people in service. And then next thing you know, you're dying.
Yeah, just to speak on that, I think that's, self-care has never, ever, ever, ever been preached to me.
Right.
I was preached to be of service, to be of service and to help, and to be of service and to help, and to be of service and to help. And you don't come into that equation.
Exactly.
And so with that, you end up taking on a lot. You take on other people's stuff. You know, for myself personally, man, if anything happens in this community that has to do with anything, I'm one of the first numbers getting called. Mm-hmm. So you get used to being into that mode. And then you sit back and you realize one day, like, damn, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I can't sleep.
Right, right.
Man, I'm overworked, but I got to be here. And so I think one of the best things that could have happened for me was this summer. I took 60 days and I didn't do nothing. I didn't traveled, and I just did nothing, like nothing. And so it was like the best. And everybody doesn't have that luxury,
right.
But it was the best thing that I could have did, because now I'm so refreshed and ready to get back to it. But that needs to happen, even if that's, you know, a weekend, or being able to come to a place like this and sit down and just be here for 6 hours. You watch some TV and you get your fingers done and you go to sleep. Yeah. Like for me, and that's like the hugest thing, is just going to sleep.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something that additionally affects our health, is I didn't sleep, because I always was doing something. I always was doing something. I wasn't doing something. I was thinking about what I needed to do, and I was planning on the next thing that I was going to do. And then next thing you know, you done went 7 days and you done had 20 hours of sleep and you're still going. You know, and so, and during that time, right, you're not sleeping and you're not giving your body a chance to process the food that you're eating, and you're eating while you're on the run, and all that, you know, played into, you know, where I ended up being health wise. And self-care is man, if I would have knew, man, I would have made sure at least every 60 days, man, I'm gone and I'm going to take a weekend. I'm going to go to the coast, or I'm going to go this, and I'm gonna, or just go get a room and cut off my phone and turn off my lights and just chill and watch movies, and you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I think this is something that, again, I didn't ever see my mom go on vacation. I never seen my mom not working. I never seen, you know, any of that stuff. And so for me, it felt like you said, it felt like I would be selfish if my people needed me and I couldn't do nothing for you.
Right.
And I didn't. And my mom said something. Her and my aunts was arguing years ago when we was little. You know, you remember the arguments between your aunties. So my aunt was telling her, what do you mean, Karen? Your kids come first. Your kids come first. If your kids don't. My mom said the coldest thing. She said, well, if I'm not okay, they can't be okay. And so I needed to take that as an adult and say, well, if I'm not all right, how can I help anybody else?
That's right.
I think, and I thank God for getting time enough on this earth to get that understanding. Mm-hmm. But I think these are conversations that we need to have.
Absolutely. And again, fitness is a habit. He's presenting this. Shout out to my man, DJ Cliff. And we have, speaking of hammer and nails, we have the owner on set, my man, Keenan Davis. Welcome, man.
Appreciate it. I mean, fellas, I think hearing everybody's point of views and how you've arrived at this moment is somewhat of the reaction that kicked off some of my passion to even put something like this in place. My wife is a weight loss surgeon, one of the top ones in the country. So from a health perspective, you take her background, and I'm a food law and food policy professor at one of the top universities in the country. So health and nutrition is something that just lives in my house. However, I'm urban. And I'm from the South, small rural South, right? So the real South, Hot Springs, Arkansas. So health and nutrition was never something that I was taught. It was never something that we grew up with, as you shared stories about like food and your aunts and people cooking. Mm. And you, I mean, historically, obviously, we didn't have a choice on what we eat. We all understand right. that. So our nutrition was somewhat generationally passed down to us. So you don't pass down, I mean, chitlins and hog maws, those are the things, the scraps or what, just that's how we've survived. So now we some of us, not all of us, are fortunate enough to say, wait a minute, maybe I can go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, or maybe I can think about eating half of this fried plate versus all of it, or maybe I can bake this chicken versus, you know, deep fried. I think now our generation just now has become the first generation really in the history of Black civilians in this country to be able to choose what we actually wanted to eat.
Put in our body.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's not taking anything off or away from us and what we're doing with other things we put in our body, but I think you're starting to at least see a level of consciousness that didn't exist in prior generations. And it's kind of dumbfounding if you find yourself speaking to someone in the older generation and you question or challenge them about something that they're cooking with or something that you don't eat anymore. Like my mother thinks I'm absolutely crazy because I'm a vegetarian. I haven't eaten meat in over 4 years. And a lot of it is not because I have anything against the actual concept of eating meat. It's just I found that I'm addicted to certain styles of cooking, and those certain styles of cooking and preparation with food have proven themselves to be deadly at the end of one's life. And so if I can recognize that I have a weakness in certain areas of my life as a father and as a husband, certainly that's just going to put me in a position of strength to be the best man that I can be within those four walls. So when I hear us come together and we have these kind of conversations and create dialogue around what we're putting into our bodies and how we're taking care of our bodies, that's where the survival really starts. Mm-hmm. You know, we could talk about ownership and we could talk about economic development, but at the end of the day, if your temple isn't in a place that you can own something and you could develop something, then you won't right. be able to reap the rewards of what your mind set forth and set out to do. Very and one true. Of the things I think that we don't do, and I think it helps us, I won't say I think I know, is traveling. I heard someone said earlier in this conversation about traveling has been a way that they've been able to defuse and really re-energize themselves, but also it allows you to see what other cultures are doing, not only to survive, but to sustain and advance in themselves. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I've been fortunate to live and work in 15 different places in the world and travel, I think, to about 20 different countries. And so I've seen a lot of different ethnicities outside of where we come from as Black men specifically. And what you'll find out is that people work less, they spend more time with their family. Mm-hmm. They cherish moments. They mm-hmm. cherish them, right? As if tomorrow may never come, because we have that saying and we think about it. But when you get outside of, you know, these United States, the capitalistic competitive mindset does decrease and the family and the spirit of a man and or woman increases, mm-hmm. and you see what matters most to people and how their quality of life, when you start looking at some of these indexes of quality of life, Mercer puts out one every year, it's best quality of life, you know, societies, you'll never see an American city in the top 25. The first one will be like Honolulu, and it'll register like in the mid-30s, but you'll see Canadian cities, you'll see Northern European cities. You won't see cities where competition is everything. And it's something to be said about how we compete and how we capitalize versus how we take care of ourselves and take care of the things around us, because obviously life is fleeting. And I think when we have these conversations, we create this dialogue and continue to build each other up from the inside out. I know that's one thing, you know, DJ OG1 is that you are really big about in terms of young men, is really working on the inside, mm-hmm. and having that inside reflect the outside of the person.
Absolutely.
And I think the same way that we have that passion, specifically you, and you've done a hell of a job in your 30 plus years of leading that cause, we can find out a way as men to do that to ourselves, mm-hmm. first, yep. and foremost, mm-hmm. then I believe we've actually started the real revolution.
Yeah.
It won't continue, it has to start, and it starts with ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of that, like you said with travel, I spent 2 weeks in Vitoria, Spain, right? And they have a thing, I don't know if it's called La Siesta or I don't know what it is, but every day.
Siesta.
Every day. At like 3 to 7, everything shuts down. You get to go home, there's nowhere, and they have parks everywhere. Like, my first 3 days there, I was sick because the food is so rich. It's not no GMOs, but really going in, you know, and like I've been blessed to go a lot of places and just being there and seeing the time they let you leave work to be with your family. And to spend time and go to and you go see old people doing dips and playing on the play structures and like, I'm telling you, being able to get outside of, because that's what, since we were born, we've been taught to compete. I got to beat you and I got to capitalize on beating you. And, you know what I'm saying?
Balance.
So it's
balance.
Yeah, and we don't get that balance.
Right.
And I think that I just, like, for me, this is amazing just to even us sit and have these conversations. Like you said, I've talked to all of y'all about everything, mm-hmm. and this is the least thing we've talked about. Right. And I've known you for 30 years.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I've known you for 30 years, and it's like we've never had these conversations. I think that. And for me, what I'm happy about right now with, you know, the unfortunate diagnosis that we knocked that out, but it raised awareness for my peers.
Mm-hmm.
So now, are we talking about this? And now me tracking and showing that, okay, this is my journey. This is what I'm on. This is how I'm eating. Right. Like, I've never, people hit me every day talking about what you're eating and what you're doing, how you lose all that weight. And just being able to share that knowledge and inspire other folks to.
Yeah.
Want to do that. And I think that we've always been inspirational with each other, but we've inspired each other to do things that really, when you think about it, don't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We inspired each other to get more money and do this and do that. But again, like what he said, what's so important is it don't matter about buying properties and being able to, if you ain't here to get it or enjoy it, or, you know, that's what you doing.
Yeah, well, I added a word in my vocabulary. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off. But I added a word in my vocabulary that kind of goes along with what you're talking about. That kind of helped me with my health as well. The goal with that balance is we're talking about, and that word was no. By telling people no at times, it allowed me to keep my stress and keep my sanity. You know what I mean? I can't give everybody my time. And when we're speaking of that, now we're talking about the health of balance. You have one pie. Your life is a pie. Everybody gets an edible piece of pie. If you decide to slice that edible piece of pie into slivers, the person that wants that pie the most is going to find that to be an insult. No, keep that pie, dog. Give me a full piece when you can. Meaning that 15, 20 minutes you're going to give somebody your time typically is an insult to that person. Now give me that hour. Give me the time that you can really pay attention to my conversation. So I realized when we keep cutting more pieces of this sliver of pies, meaning we keep adding more to our plate. Oh, yeah, I'll do it, partner. Yeah, I'll do that for you, man. Oh, no, I got you, sir. No problem. That means we keep adding more slices to the pie. But as soon as I started saying no, it prevented me from slicing those other slices of pie. Now I'm not slicing my son's slice. Now I'm not slicing my personal slice. Now I'm not slicing my wife's slice or my business slice or my job slice or whatever. So that right there helped me not only with my spirit, you know, health-wise, it helped me with my sanity, and my stress level had completely went down. So sure, I might not have shedded a lot of pounds, but spiritually and mentally, I felt like,
that's where it starts.
I get cussed out on the internet. Every day I say no to somebody, man. No is the worst thing for me, man. I got to hire a no man. Because if I say no, man, it's, he's supposed to be doing this, and he said, and nah, man.
So you got to work on it. You got to work on a way to say no that's, that you got to come up with your way to say no. I mean, I hear you. I'm doing the same thing. My way was, hey, thank you so much for that offer, but I got to say no because I don't have the time to do the job you expect out of me, mm-hmm. and I don't want to let you down. Mm. Is that okay? And that, and if it's someone who really knows you, they're gonna get it. But
what about when they want your money?
I love that. I mean, that's exactly it, because everyone is gonna keep pulling at you, and you gotta break it down and bring it home and take care of yourself, because especially you guys, you guys are leaders, and everyone's wants to see what you're doing, plus you're inspirational, and you are helping so many people. But you're right. You gotta break it down to saying, okay, I gotta have some time for myself, and that's critical.
Yeah, I think the great thing that I've learned over the last few years, you know, going through the process of healing, you know, healing physically, rejuvenating and replenishing myself mentally, spiritually. Is that the process is not cookie cutter. It's not a one-way process, you know, one size fits all. But I think it starts with the conversation. And I think the most important conversation is the conversation that you have with yourself. Being honest and being, you know, what we call keeping it a buck. Having that honest conversation and knowing what your capacity is. That capacity includes every aspect of your life. Even in your personal life, there are certain things that you only have capacity to do, and that you only can take on so much. And you have to always position yourself where the more that you're giving out, you have to intentionally put things in place to be replenished. Because if you don't, then you'll be depleted. Again, physically, mentally, spiritually, and I've been there. I've witnessed that literally take people's lives over the last few years. Since I've been dealing in my recovery, you know, there's been 3 people that has lost their lives. You know, I look at my brother Starchild. He went in the hospital the exact day, a year from when I went in. I came out, he didn't. And he's 10 years younger than me. And, you know, he's in the hospital on my head talking about, you got to take better care of yourself. But yet, he was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff that he just didn't want to have dialogue about, because, and here is one of the biggest deceptions, and I've been guilty of it, is I don't want people to worry about me. I don't want to... people to feel sorry for me. I don't want. And I've had to learn how to get over myself. Like, get over yourself. Like, people care about you. So you should allow people to care about you. and not feeling that, again, that guilt of, man, if they're feeling sorry for me or caring for me, then that means, you know, they're not caring for somebody else, or they're taking time that they could be doing something else. And I think that's unfair to each person that puts themselves in that position. And again, the bottom line is, while we're here on the earth, we want to make sure that we are at our best in everything that we do, whether it's personal relationships, whether it's spiritually, whether it's practically. But it starts with the foundation of us, with us being at the core. And so, again, having that honest conversation with ourselves and saying what really is valuable to us. If our health, mentally, spiritually, physically, is really that important, what are we willing to sacrifice? And maybe that, again, it's not cookie cutter. It's going to be different for some other people. I know for me was that if I did those 15 gigs that week, and I made a lot of money that week, but it cost me, you know, where I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted mentally. I'm exhausted physically. You know, I'm not going to the gym. I'm not walking with my wife. You know, I'm not taking time with my wife or my kids because I'm so busy working. Then again, I look up and, you know, I got partners now. They gone. They can't redeem that time with their kids and family, but they worked hard and people will respect them, and we'll get shout outs and people will pat us on the back and say, man, that they were great. They were great fathers. They were great men. They did this great thing. But then I have to think about my kid. They said, would they rather me do all those great things externally or spend time with them?
Typically, my wife. The kids did not sign up for this.
Exactly.
They just came along for the ride, you know, exactly. Sitting in the back seat, but they didn't. Typically, they want their dads, right, or they want their husbands.
Our, you know, our wives want the same thing, or our significant others, or our relatives. And so, again, having the conversation is what I felt was really important to make it start making it okay to have the dialogue, to have the check-in, and brothers particularly not feeling like someone is trying to be in their business because they asked them, man, how's your health doing? You know, to be able to give it. I'm really proud of you, Sam, doing the next level walk thing that you got coming up. And I want you to tell people about that. But I'm really proud of you. And to me, it doesn't matter what circumstance led to that. It doesn't matter. The fact that it's something that's very needed. And so taking accountability for that and using your platform and your influence for that is what I'm hoping to ignite amongst everybody that's at this table. I know the doc, you know, he sees it coming in his door all the time in terms of the colon cancer and everything surrounding that. He's getting the front end, the back end, literally. But I'm quite sure, and you can speak on this, Doc. I'm quite sure that you would like more of these conversations to be had, you know, on the preventative end as opposed to the end results.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love it if I didn't have to see someone else with colon cancer again. I'd love it if everyone could put me out of business by getting a colonoscopy. Getting, you know, colonoscopies prevent 85% to 95% or 85% to 90% of colon cancers. Prevent. They're not going to happen. If you just got a colonoscopy regularly scheduled, we're gonna knock it out. That's not cure early stage cancer. Prevent it. You never had cancer. This is one of the most amazing things out there, and it came around in the 1970s, and no one, you know, it's just not cool to do it. So
that you're on that, what is the process? So those that are listening to get that, what is the process of getting the colonoscopy?
So we, first of all, who gets them? So anyone over the age of 45, should get a colonoscopy, and we want to get it before you get any symptoms, because these things are silent and they grow, and by the time they cause symptoms, they're usually more advanced. So let's get it. Let's A, try to prevent it. B, if you do have a cancer, get it early.
What are symptoms?
Symptoms are blood that you see some blood in the toilet paper, blood in the toilet bowl, in the stool. Maybe that your bowel movements, instead of, you know, have my coffee in the morning, have a bowel movement, everything's normal. But then it starts, like, for a couple months, it's just different. It's either you have more diarrhea, a little bit more constipation, you have to strain a little bit to poop. And then some other ones are just simple. I just feel tired because cancers are, your colon's about 4 feet long. And mm-hmm. when the cancer's all the way at the end of your large intestine, that's the rectum, then you'll actually have more symptoms because it's closer to where you poop. If it's at the beginning of your colon, then the poop over at that end is actually really loose. It's like diarrhea. It's kind of weird. And so you don't feel blockage symptoms. You might just feel tired because it's slowly oozing blood and you get low blood counts or anemia. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, you know, 6 months ago, I could get out and exercise. I felt great. Or going up two flights of steps, I'm out of breath now. So I'm just different. So then it sneaks up on you.
Are there people who fit a certain profile that are more high risk?
The simple answer is the majority of people are at what we call average risk and don't have a risk factor. People that are higher risk are going to be people that have a family member, but that's infrequent. Most people don't have a family member with colorectal cancer. But the simple answer is we're all at risk. 1 in 20 of us are going to get colon cancer. It's that high. Wow. It's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in America.
And has there been a specific level of stress? Has there been a specific diet as far as research is concerned? I know we do these longitudinal 10-year plus studies.
Yeah.
So what are some of the criteria that's been prone to show up consistently in the 1 in 20 people who are being, attracted?
You're absolutely right. Long-term studies are a little hard because I don't know what I ate 2 days ago. How am I going to report it? You know, what'd you eat last year? So, but I do, you know, we do know it's sort of the common sense things, and you've made adjustments in your lifestyle for it, but, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables, avoid the fatty meats, avoid fried foods. So high fiber, low fat diet, don't smoke, exercise more. They're all kind of common sense things. There's not one thing in particular. There's nothing worse than when my Portland patient shows up with their diagnosis of colon cancer and they're sitting there with their kale smoothie in their hand, all angry mm-hmm. that I've been a vegan for 20 years and I've got colon cancer. That was not supposed to happen. And I go, you're right, it's not. We don't know why people get it. So
the best thing is to get tested. Yeah. Is to get tested, you know, that way you remove 45? All that.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you call my doctor?
Clean the pipes. And I think telling me
so
that
if you get symptoms, so that yeah, so if you get any of these symptoms, you go check in with your doctor. Hopefully, most of the time it's not something bad. But if it is, we might say, you know what, you're, you know, 35 years old and you got some symptoms, you know, your bowels aren't working right and it's been going on for a couple months, or I'm seeing blood more frequently with my bowels, you know, just go get it checked out. Because you know what, you were talking about stress, and you know, you're nothing worse than you going to the bathroom and seeing some blood. You're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's over.
And you think it's over. And and then you don't want to do anything about it because, like, I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? That pressure cooker doesn't have a pop-off valve. And you just keep cooking that pressure. And that makes you unhealthy. And that makes you worse. That makes you worry. And those are the people that eventually, you know, the stress just overwhelms them. And it shuts their body down. And then the cancer will grow. Or your diabetes will get worse. Or your blood pressure goes up. You know, all these things. Or you're going to start smoking more cigarettes to get over the stress. So, or eat crappy food to get over the stress, you know, mm-hmm. all these things. So you got to release the stress, like you guys were saying. I thought that was a great point that you brought up.
Having a great support system also is good too. Having a good friend or, you know, someone that you can speak to about your health issues. That way you can maybe get some wise counsel. Sometimes when we're stressed, like you're talking about, we don't see things clearly. We're not being wise about our decisions. But having conversations with your brothers who advocate and doing some healthy things as well, sometimes can steer you in the right direction. Like I stated before, you know, OG1 has steered me in the right direction a few times. You know, this last walk we did, which is the Undie Walk, I believe it was called, it was amazing. They had a big, giant, inflatable colon on the field that had so much information in it. And I'm not going to lie, from a distance, I was like, I'm not finna go walk through that. I'm just being honest.
But, it looked cool.
But, you know, and I felt some kind of way. But then my wife was like, you know, you want to take a picture? And she took a picture with me in front of it. So then it was like, okay, I guess I have no choice. So I went inside and I learned quite a bit of things. That was very interesting. And that's what I was talking about, you know, before when I made that cliche of the ignorance of the law is no excuse. You know, there is no excuse when you have to see that doctor and you got to pay the bill for you being, you know, foolish or not knowledgeable about some of the things you've been doing in your life. You got to pay the bill. And there's nothing you can say, I didn't know. Well, you still have it. You know, so that's why it's good to get checked and, you know, and hopefully, you know, have that good ecosystem of people you can talk to about that.
Absolutely. So I want to wrap up. But again, before we do that, Sam, I want you to let the people know about the next level walk that you got coming up.
All right. So in partnership with Sunday Parkways and Oregon Walks, we are going to do a next level health walk. Going to begin at Alberta Park, which is the park that I grew up in, and it's going to go all the way to Fernhill Park. And so this walk is specifically targeting African-American people. Everybody's welcome, but I'm being very intentional about this targeting African-American folks because, again, this is a conversation that we don't have. We're losing a lot of people way too soon. Rest in peace to Sean Bostic, my guy. My age, man, died last night of a heart attack, which is
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just something that we don't talk about. And so for me, I was thinking of ways to get everybody to get up and active. Again, like once I found out about being a diabetic, that day I got up and I went and ran and I hit the track and I was doing all this stuff. And, you know, I was very inspired to do that. And then about 4 days in, man, I'm not about to get up and go run every day. It's not my thing. I'm not running if I ain't getting chased. And so, but a way that everybody can, you know, is walk, get on a bike, or, you know, and those type of things. And so I started to have some conversation with Jess Thompson from Oregon Walks and created a partnership with Sunday Parkways and PBOT, and now Reach from Multnomah County has got involved. And so what we're going to do is we're going to meet up Sunday, September 22nd, 12 p.m. at Alberta Park, and start a walk. And on the walk, we're going to have music throughout the walk. Nikki Brown Clown is going to come down to help with the walk. And every four blocks, which would be like 0.5 miles. So every four blocks, we're going to have a station. And so the first is going to be a health and wellness station. We're going to have North by Northeast there, giving cholesterol and blood pressure checks, giving information on how to stay healthy. The next check-in point, which will be at 30th, we'll have information about safety with Portland Bureau of Transportation. We have a number of African-American people getting hit by cars and like at a crazy rate in the city. And then on the next stop, which would be 34th, it'll be ways to stay active. And so we'll have people there that have yoga, Pilates, MMA, different things of where people can stay active. And the AB walk, so everybody that does the recipes to Aaron Bell, we're coming up on a year. And all his friends get together every Sunday morning. They go walk around Whitaker's track. And so they'll be there to invite people to do that. And then once we get to Fernhill Park, it's going to be a celebration. We'll have music. We'll have Bounce House. We'll have food catered. Hannah's will be there. Pastas, Gourmet Brothers. And just an opportunity for us not only to, come back to a neighborhood that we grew up in. That's the neighborhood me and Aisha grew up in. That's where we played in the park and went to school at Vernon, and would just also get a chance to get each other together in fellowship. And while we're doing it, having these, when you're done, you walk the mile. You walk the mile. And yeah. So
building in the culture.
Building in the culture of being active. So that will be September 22nd, 12 p.m., Alberta Park. The walk is going to begin at 1. We should probably make it to, some people are going to storm through and get to Fernhill a little earlier, but everybody should be there by 2. And then from 2 to 4, it'll be the celebration set up with that. So just big shout out to Oregon Walks, Sunday Parkways, Multnomah County Reach Program, Portland Bureau of Transportation. Nike's coming on late right now. And this is something that I've been blessed to be to have some influence in my community. And a lot of times it's been for, you know, partying and things like that. And I think this is one of the most important things that we're doing right now. And if I could get the same reception, the same amount of folks to come out and do something that's going to actually eventually end up benefiting us. Also, excuse me, once you get to the park, we will have Sonia Dumas, who is a nurse practitioner there, doing full exams, checking A1C3 levels, cholesterol, all this stuff. We have HIV testing. So, you know, we're just going to try to wrap into everything. And so I'm excited about it.
Yes.
Great work.
And again, great work. And again, I think it the dialogue, just having the dialogue has been something I think has been missing. And so, again, taking our platforms with the P-Town Media, whether it's Next Level or even some of the things I'm doing as relates to like the Work It Out tour, getting back to that because I was doing some of that before my cancer situation. So really excited about implementing that. We're bringing the party, the workout party, back in the play for our people in general. With that said, again, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you, Dr. Whiteford, for giving your input. Kenan Davis of Hammer and Nails, thank you for allowing us to use the facility. If you guys, particularly our guys, if you guys look for a spot to come in and shut it down and relax and get some quality service, make sure that you come and support Hammer and Nails, not just because of the salon, but you have a incredible brother that supports this community. And so we need to do that in return. Make sure that y'all tune in, my man Asa Pritchard with P-Town Media, that covers all and everything entertainment in the city. Doc, again, I appreciate you coming to spend the time with us and giving us information. And make sure you guys get tested. Get tested for whatever health stuff, but specifically the colon cancer stuff. I'm biased on that right now, but you heard the doctor say some of the symptoms, you know, to look for. If you have it running in your family, that's even more reason. Better safe than sorry. Better safe than sorry. And with that said, you have been tuned in to Fitness is a Habit, the Black Men's Health Discussion. And this is just the first of many to come. Thank you, DJ Cliff, for holding down the engineering. With that,